Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at Hebrews chapters 8 and 9. But as the hymn spoke in the last stanza, brothers and sisters, yea, he reigns, the great Messiah, in millennial glory crowned, Israel's hope and earth's desire, now triumphant and renowned. Heaven and earth, with all their legions, at his footstool prostrate fall. Heaven and earth with all their legions, crowned Emmanuel, Lord of all. Hail Messiah, reign forever, heaven to earth reflects the sound. What do you think that has to do with the book of Hebrews, brothers and sisters? Let's take a look. We're going to work our way down, brothers and sisters. Here's the way we'll do it. Reading from our program is broken down very nicely. Paul says in chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, now the sum of this is that we have a great high priest set down at the right hand of God, a minister of the true tabernacle, which God made, not man. The Levitical priests were ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. So this too, Melchizedek, priest should offer, have somewhat to offer, and his offerings should be so much higher than the old covenant. Verses 10 to 13 describes the new covenant based on the old, making the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. This happened in AD 70. Chapter 9. Contrast the sanctuary and service under the two covenants. Verses 1 to 10 describing the Mosaic laws, rites, and sacrifices, which could not make him that did the service perfect. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, etc. So just a brief synopsis of this chapter, brothers and sisters. We distill it down a little bit further. Now the things we have spoken of, the sum is, we have an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Verse 3 to 6, things pertain to that priesthood and the priesthood of Christ, a more excellent ministry. Verse 7 to 13, the covenants, the first, they continue not in it because of unbelief. And then the second. Chapter 10 describes the covenant and the priesthood. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time unto salvation. So the question is, brothers and sisters, where do we identify with this? How does it become a practical living part of the reality of our human experience? Are we among them that look for him, the Messiah? Does his second appearance encompass all of our desires? What we're going to find out, brothers and sisters, after looking at some of these key words, and we'll pull them out, is just a little bit about parables and types, of which the diagram shows part of, or one way of describing, the antitypical and the typical. Speaking of a parable is the setting forth of a certain thing as representative of something else. Hence, it is spoken or acted. In the first case, it is used to illustrate that which is real. What we're looking at, brothers and sisters, is the real actions on a smaller scale that are representative of remoter and grander things. Whether spoken or acted, parables are unintelligible to those who are not skilled in the things of the kingdom, the gospel. Christadelphians, brothers and sisters, have a unique privilege. Through the efforts of Brother Thomas, by the power of God, he was able to unloose the keys to understanding the gospel, which unlocked all of the scriptures. And we understand how to prove things. The things that Christadelphians believe and hope for are summarized in the hymn that we sang. The words that we read in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 9 are details of a very specific thing called the atonement, all of which most of us have been partakers of. We've been baptized. So the idea with this is we're going to look at Hebrews 8 and 9 through the eyes of those who look for the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. They look for a new heavens and an earth, new earth. a little bit more about opening up the scriptures, brothers and sisters, so that we have a vision before us. Brother Thomas wrote, "In ages ago, God has had a people of his own. These were wise in the wisdom of God and venerated or reverenced his word or loved his word above all things. It says, he graciously condescended to inform his people what he intends to do before it comes to pass. Hence it is testified by the prophet, the Lord God will surely do nothing but he reveal his secret unto his servants the prophets. This revelation, which encompasses the whole of Scripture, brothers and sisters, is made that his people's faith may be confirmed and enlarged, and that in every generation they may know the times and the seasons to which they stand related, and knowing the times, they are able to discern the things that are coming on the earth." It continues, brothers and sisters, "they are courageous and rejoice in the perceiving approach of the coming kingdom of God." Concerning the letter to the Hebrews, Paul's letter, written by a Jew to the Jews, the ecclesia to whom it was written was made up of a people whose whole life prior to their baptism revolved around the law and Judaism. 40 years had passed since their baptism into Christ, and like their forefathers who had been baptized into Moses, they too were growing weary of the way. They thought of returning to the synagogue. The Apostle Paul knew the signs of the times. The end of the Hebrew commonwealth was at hand. They wanted to return to this system. This was a warning to that generation, brothers and sisters. The Hebrews lived at the time of the fulfillment of Haggai's words, "I will shake the heaven and the earth," Haggai 2:6. The shaking refers to the Mosaic system of which Paul speaks of in Hebrews 12, verse 26, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I not shake the earth only, but also heaven." Verse 27, "and this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." It was the Jewish heaven and earth that was spoken of. The whole administrative system of the law was to be shaken to its very foundations. The full quote Paul alludes to in Hebrews 12:26 is found in Haggai 2:6, says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and all the desire of the nations shall come, and I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." One part of that prophecy Paul refers to the commonwealth of Israel being destroyed in AD 70. But the second part refers to the second advent of Christ. The Jews suffered a horrible fate, brothers and sisters, at the removing of the Mosaic system and the siege of Jerusalem and its destruction. When we look at this breakdown of Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 from the handout, on one side, the left side, is the typical. On the right side is the antitypical. And this, brothers and sisters, is a means that once I finish these notes and these typical things, the comments will be generated from the very things that are not readily apparent if you just read Hebrews 8 and 9. So the typical would be a shadow of things to come, as Hebrews 10, verse 1. Things seen are temporal. The antitypical would be the fulfilling in all the details, the substance. The things not seen are eternal. In the line below it, brothers and sisters, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the covenant, Christ fulfilling all things spoken of in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And then those same chapters, Hebrews chapter 8 and 9, are listed below, and the arrows point to each one of those portions. Under the tabernacle, chapter 9, verse 1 to 10, speaks of the Mosaic tabernacle, which is typical, a shadow of good things to come, a prophecy of greater things. Then chapter 9, verses 11 to 14, speak of Christ's sacrifice, which opens the way. And you see the line goes all the way to the right, to the antitypical most holy, where Christ mediates for us today. Chapter 9, verses 15 to 20, again, the arrow goes all the way to the right. The dedication of the new covenant, antitypical, the reality. Chapter 9, verses 21 to 28, the atoning power of Christ's sacrifice. The whole of Scripture is spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work that Yahweh had given him. Verse 28, so Christ, to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. On the typical side, brothers and sisters, this is what we have. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest disappeared into the tabernacle, out of the sight of the people, while he ministered on their behalf. They waited expectantly to see if their sacrifice would be accepted, and the provisional setting aside of their sins. So he moved to the right side, brothers and sisters, the typical, and its relationship to us. We, as the Israel of God, also expectantly await the reappearance of our great high priest, hoping to find acceptance and our sins wiped away, that we may be perfected forever. Hebrews chapter 10:14. And then another quote, brothers and sisters, to put this together a little bit more. The things intelligently viewed through the mind of the believer who believes the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, when the great promises become all my salvation and desire, then the believer begins to walk by faith. We are also being warned, brothers and sisters. We live in times of great urgency. If the Jews lived at the epoch of the fulfillment, I will shake the heavens and the earth, then just as surely we live at a time when the second part of the prophecy also will have its fulfillment, for a greater and a more grand scale than the first. I will shake all nations. But we do not live under the typical or the shadow institution of the law of Moses, nor does God require us the obedience to his ceremonial institutions. Yet in principle, the problem of Judaism is as real today as it ever was in the days of the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, as we see the day approach, we're exhorted to live by faith. The coming of the great high priest from the antitypical heaven itself, the throne of Yahweh, will be a reward to everyone as his work shall be. But the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ will be for the establishment of God's kingdom. From Hebrews we see the vision of the kingdom to come, the priest returning from his antitypical sanctuary in the heavens, brothers and sisters. But when that happens, the kingdom of God will be established on the destruction of every other kingdom, and it will last forever. So hopefully by this diagram, brothers and sisters, a little bit speaking about types and parables, we can use this as a warning, as an encouragement to our faith of the things that the Hebrews lived